We've come to the heart of the gospel in Romans chapter 8. One of the greatest chapters, in my estimation, in the whole Bible. I don't believe we'll be able to cover it all tonight, but we'll get started in it tonight. This morning, we'd like to look at the first part of Romans 8. Where Paul declares, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Last week, we looked at the problem. We realized that what God has commanded of us is right. It is good. The law of the Lord is perfect. I wish that everybody lived by his laws, especially me. But there are problems as we seek to do what God wants us to do and to be what God wants us to be. And that problem is our sinful nature. And we realize that the law of God is spiritual, but the problem is I'm carnal. I live in a body of flesh. And my carnal nature rebels against the righteous law of God. My flesh is warring against my spirit so that I don't always do the things that I would. My spirit indeed is willing, but my flesh is weak. And so we came to discover that in our flesh there dwells no good thing. Sin dwells in me. I have a sinful nature. So I delight in the law of God, but yet I find that there's another law that is working in me that wars against the desires of my mind, for with my mind I want to do God's will. But it's this law of sin that is in my body. So as we look at the problem, we wonder, is it possible then to live a holy, righteous life? Now, in chapter 7, we saw two laws. The law of God, in which Paul said he delighted. But he saw also the law of sin that was controlling his body, that kept him from fulfilling the law of God. Two laws. Law of God, good, righteous, holy. Law of sin, rebelling against the law of God, controlling me, keeping me from being obedient to the law of God. So in chapter 8, as Paul now gets to the answer is by another law, a new law, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, which makes us free from the law of sin and death. That law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. But how can I have this more abundant life in Christ Jesus, whereby I can have power over the law of the sinful nature that is in me? I come into this law of life in Christ Jesus by inviting Jesus to come and dwell within me. Jesus said, "In that day, you shall know that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you." And that life of Christ dwelling in me is stronger than the law of sin and death that is in my members. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in, commune with him." Jesus is talking about the door of your heart. He wants to come into your life, but you have to open the door. He does not force himself, but waits for you to open the door, and he comes in by invitation. Jesus said to his disciples in John 15, "I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abides in me, and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing." Now, I argued with that for a long time. I thought, oh, there's something that I can do that's worthwhile. But I have proven conclusively to myself that without him, I can do nothing that is of value or worth. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Now, here's our problem. We're struggling against this sin nature that we have. We desire and we long to do the will of God. We desire to be obedient to the commandments of God because we recognize they're good, they're right, they're just. But there is this weakness. My spirit indeed is willing, but my flesh is weak. So I try and I fail. I promise myself that I'll never do that again, but I do it again. I promise the Lord that I will be more faithful and diligent in my devotions, and yet I'm not. Whenever I would do good, evil is present with me. And so the problem isn't with my mind. There's the desire there to be obedient to God. The problem is my flesh that rebels against the law of God and keeps me in bondage to the flesh. So as we get to verse 3 of Romans 8, he said, "For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh." What could the law not do? The law could not give me the power to obey it. I see the law. It's good. I want to obey it. But the law can't give me the power to obey it. There's nothing in the law that empowers me to keep it. Thus, the law condemns me for my failure. The law could not make me righteous because I can't keep it. The problem is the weakness of my flesh. Paul said, "For to will is present with me, but how to perform it I cannot find." As we pointed out last week, the problem really isn't the law of God. The problem is my sinful nature that is in rebellion against the law of God. So God, in order to solve my problem sent his son, his own son, in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Note, God sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh. Jesus was without sin. When the angel Gabriel announced to Mary concerning the birth of this child that she was to bear, he said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you, so that that holy thing that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God." Born without sin, without the inherent sinful nature that we possess. Jesus one day said to the Pharisees, "Which of you can prove me guilty of sin?" So God sent his own son in a body without a sinful nature, that he might become an offering for sin and thus condemned sin in the flesh. Paul said, "God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him." Jesus has taken our sins and he has given us his righteousness. That, Paul said, the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, not by us. That was my problem. I was trying to do it. But now the righteousness of God, of the righteousness of the law, is fulfilled in me through the indwelling of Jesus Christ and through the power of his Spirit dwelling in me. This is what makes Christianity distinct from all religious systems. Most religious systems recognize that the problem that man has is with his fleshly desires. That the life of the Spirit is the life of peace. It is the fleshly desires that create the turmoil, the fights, the wars. James said, "Where do the fightings and wars come? Come they not from your own desires, the desires of your flesh?" And Buddha recognized this. And so Buddha taught that the path to peace and tranquility was to get rid of all of your fleshly desires, because your fleshly desires create the anxieties. They create that unrest within. And so in order to have true peace and tranquility, you must not have any fleshly desires. And when you can divorce yourself from every fleshly desire, you will have attained nirvana. And so they say even your desire to eat, you've got to get rid of that desire in order to enter into this nirvana. Well, go ahead and don't eat for a while and you'll find you will enter into a something. Can't guarantee nirvana. So the problem, though Buddha saw the situation, recognized that, look, all of your difficulties lie in your desires. Fleshly desires. Look at the turmoil of the world. Look at the evil of the world. It's all because of this desire that people have for things. So he pointed to the problem. But he couldn't give the answer. So I see the problem. But without the answer, it only frustrates me. Yes, I recognize that this body of flesh and these fleshly desires that are warring against the law of God in my mind, it's creating this turmoil. It's creating all of the anger and confusion and unrest in my life. But what can I do? And I feel the frustration of knowing what the problem is, but not having the ability to solve it. I try, but still the problem persists. Jesus said, look, this is the problem. It's the weakness of your flesh and this sinful nature that you have that is constantly wanting more, never satisfied. Now, I will come and I will dwell in you. And what you cannot do because of the weakness of your flesh, I will do for you. By my dwelling in you, you will have power, and you will be able, through the power of my indwelling presence, to not be subject to this law of the sinful nature that is keeping you from pleasing God. Jesus also spoke not of just his own abiding presence. He spoke of the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And through the power of the Spirit, you will be witnesses unto me throughout all the world. But then he also spoke about the power of his word in us. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, and then further down, he said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. And Jesus tied the word with himself as indwelling us. He said, it is the Spirit that makes alive. My words are spirit, and they are life. The psalmist said, how can a young man cleanse his ways? And he answered the question himself by taking heed unto the word of God. Thus God has provided his indwelling spirit, the indwelling of Jesus Christ, and the indwelling of his word in order to support me and to give me the help that I need to live the life that I want. The principle is the higher law of life in Christ Jesus that negates the law of sin and sinful nature. Let's look at the law of gravity. We're all familiar with the law of gravity. We may not understand how it works, but we know it works. Newton's theory of gravity was that the gravitational force between two objects is proportional to the size of their masses. So he observed that things fell to the earth. He theorized that it was the mass of the earth that caused things to fall to the earth. And thus he developed his theory of gravitational forces. Now, according to the law of gravity, this book should fall to the floor. But it's not falling to the floor. Now, does that mean that the law of gravity is negated? It's wrong? Am I disproving the law of gravity because this book isn't falling to the floor? No. The law of gravity is still valid. But the book is not falling to the floor because there is another law in operation that is higher than the law of gravity, and is the law of life and physical strength that's holding the book, keeping it from falling to the floor. So there's just another law in operation, a higher law that keeps the law of gravity from operating on this book. So, there is this law of our sinful nature that declares that my sinful nature is at war with the law of God, not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Does that mean then I have to sin? No. God has inaugurated a higher law. And this higher law is the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that is greater than the law of sin and death that dwells in me. So that when Christ dwells in me, now this new law of spirit of life in Christ has made me free from that old law of sin and death that once kept me captive to my own fleshly desires. So I can have freedom through Jesus Christ. As I said, Jesus points to the path of the Spirit, life in the Spirit. And he said, that's the path you need to walk to have peace, to have joy, to have an abundant life. You can't do it yourself, so I'll come in and I'll live in you and give you the power and capacity to do it. You see, that's what Buddha couldn't say. Buddha said, there's the path. Walk in that path, you'll reach nirvana. But he couldn't give the capacity to do it. And thus, religions only frustrate. And Christianity, when it's just taught as a religious system, can be as frustrating as any other religious system. It has to be life, the life that is in Christ, the life that is through Christ, the life of Christ in me. So the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus is what has set me free from the law of the sinful nature, which was death. Dead to the things of God. Let's just read on. I don't have time this morning to expound it, but just want to read it to you and listen. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it's not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can it be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit dwelling in you. Therefore, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. So much there. Tonight we'll be looking more fully into it, and we pray that God will help you to see the new law that God has established, whereby the law of sin and death in your body has been overcome, negated. Still there as far as the law is concerned, but it no longer needs to hold you. You don't need to fall. You can be held up, for Jesus Christ will hold you up. Power of the life of Christ, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has freed you from that law of sin and death. And God has provided the means whereby we can live in a way that pleases him. So we pray, Father, thank you for the provisions that you have made for us. Thank you, Father, that you've been so understanding of us, of the struggles that we've gone through. Thank you for your faithfulness, God, holding us up when we surely would have fallen. And Lord, today we pray that we might enter fully into that new life in Christ Jesus as he dwells in us. And as we dwell in him, may we experience, Lord, this week the power of your Holy Spirit, that Spirit of life in Christ giving us victory over the sinful nature, so that we will not be obeying the lust of our flesh, but will be walking, Lord, after the Spirit. Lord, we know that without you, we can do nothing. We need your help. Thank you, Lord, for providing in and through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Shall we stand? I encourage you to study carefully this 8th chapter. In it, we have the keys for victory. A victorious life. A life that pleases God. So this afternoon, study it. Meditate upon it. And tonight, let's look more deeply into this subject, because here's the secret for successful Christian living. You especially who have been defeated because of the weakness of your flesh. Study this carefully. Pore over it. God will deliver and set you free by this principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You can have it. He's waiting for you to invite him to come in and to do for you what you can't do for yourself.